Is the Bible just another man-made book? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Don Lay.
Well, later in the show, you'll hear from Drew Meschter, who believed the Bible was just another man-made book until he joined the military.
You know, I always believed the Bible was the Word of God growing up, but I didn't think I could ever understand it. Like, because I was never given a Bible. I went to a church where only one person at the head would read the Bible. So for me, I didn't know what was in it.
Wait a minute. So why did you believe it was the Word of God?
I just knew that there was a God for me. I didn't have mom and dad really there for me. So when I was in need, I prayed all the time. Now, I wasn't what you would call a Christian.
But you believed that the Bible was the Word of God?
I believed it came from God.
Wow.
So but I didn't know how to read it, and I didn't know where to get one.
I was opposite. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, that is a man-made book. You know, I came from the background just saying, well, look, I mean, you know, men wrote that book. How could you say that God wrote it? Obviously, you know, like he picked up the pen. You know, that was my approach. But then when I came to know Christ and I read the Bible, it was different than any book I've read. Mm-hmm. I've read many books. I've read, chemistry books. I've read novels.
Self-help books.
But the Bible was so inspiring and so, it would speak so deep into my life.
Yeah.
And it's no wonder why in the Bible it even says, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah.
I've experienced this in my life, that this is something beyond our eyes can see. Mm-hmm. And the way to know, you got to read it and open your heart to it.
And the thing I love about reading the Bible now that I know that everyone can read the Bible is that it's living and it's sharper than a double-edged sword and it touches your heart. So you can read the same verse one night and the next night it will mean and say something different to you depending on your circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage you to take out the Bible and read it and see if God speaks to you. Let's listen to Drew's story after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Broomfield Beauty Salon and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Want a great haircut at a great price? Ladies, looking for a place to get both your hair and your nails done? Come to Broomfield Beauty Salon, located in the Pacific Ocean Marketplace at 6600 West 120th Avenue in Broomfield. For truly professional service at a price you won't believe, make your next appointment at Broomfield Beauty Salon. Call them today at 303-439-8963. That's 303-439-8963.
Hi, everyone. This is Kathleen Lay, host of the Real Life Radio Show.
This is Evangelist Don Lay, and we wanted to thank you for being a faithful listener to Real Life.
Yeah, and did you know that we have a prayer line just for you? If you need prayer, please feel free to give us a call at 877-480-4477. Also, we have monthly partners who receive a CD set of six of our shows every month. If you'd like to help us to reach more people through your generous donation, please feel free to give us a call, 877-480-4477. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Don Lay.
Hello, everyone.
And joining me is Drew Meschter, and he is going to share how the God of the Bible became very real to him while at war in Iraq. So let's find out more about that. Drew, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Thanks for being with us. So I understand that you grew up in a Bible-believing home. You went to church. And as you got older, it was a little hard for you because there just seemed to be people who didn't have the answers. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So I was raised in a household where we did learn the Bible, but oftentimes Christians who are familiar with the Bible will just bust out with scriptures off the top of their head to answer any of life's questions.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're a young person trying to fit the pieces together, that's not always the best explanation for things when your mom just throws a Bible verse at you.
Right.
I did have a loving mother, but there was a long period of time when Christians would just throw Bible verses at me whenever I had questions that they themselves couldn't answer.
Wow. Yeah, that's true.
And how did that make you feel as you were getting older, having these Bible verses thrown at you?
It made me very frustrated and it made me give up on the Bible.
So I understand in your 20s, you pretty much turned from the church because you really weren't getting the questions answered that you had. And you also felt like there was a lot of contradictories in the Bible. Tell me where that led you.
Yeah, that's right. So around that time period, college professors gave me the idea of thinking of the Bible in terms of just being a human document. It's the idea that the Bible or the Quran or any other religious system was just one of many. So I embraced that because if the Bible wasn't answering my questions, maybe the best way to handle the Bible was just to think of it as one of many religious books that are just written by humans.
I think a lot of people feel that way or have heard that. And
yeah, I
so
used to think that too.
Here you were, and at the same time, you really felt like there was a God. It's not like you didn't believe in God, but if God were real or knew you, you felt distance, almost like an orphan. Can you tell me about that?
That's right. I believed in God. I even believed in Jesus, but I was educated for a while in England, and I lived in Germany for a while where people were pretty non-Christian. And I really got the idea that the Bible really wasn't a way for me to understand God at all.
And you had disappointment after disappointment in relationships. Tell me about that.
Throughout my 20s, I would say that the Lord had me in a period of refinement where a lot of the things that I had prayed about as a little kid or when I was younger never came to pass. And I thought that the Lord laughed at the things that I had asked him from the bottom of my heart when I was much younger. So throughout my 20s, it was a very hard period that way.
Now, you ended up going to Iraq and serving our country, and you were at war. And at this point, as you were in Iraq, tell me how you felt, and was it scary?
Yes, it was very scary. I joined the Army when I was 27. After graduate school, I enlisted into the Army as a cavalry scout, which is a combat role. And my motivation for doing it was just that I thought, you know, I'm not going to be a complete gentleman, or I'm not going to really understand the human condition unless I can expose myself to war. So I went through basic training. I learned about all the weapons that we had to use as cavalry scouts. They could blow up vehicles, blow up humans. I learned how to treat all the injuries that happened from those things, all the burns and the dismemberment. So I had a very good idea of what war could do to people when I first went to Iraq and started my first foot patrol in Ramadi.
Wow. I would be afraid. And I remember a while ago when I was a news reporter interviewing some people who were heading to Iraq, and there were a lot of people crying. They were fearful. And so here you are out in Iraq, afraid, but then you remember a psalm that your mom used to read to you that you at that time thought was a poem. Tell me about that.
On my first foot patrol, we got our weapons together, we put our gear on, and we got outside the main gate outside of our base. And that was in an area that was very dangerous at the time. It was in the Sunni Triangle. And we walked out of the gate. And as soon as my foot started crunching on the gravel outside of the wire, I realized, wow, this is real. And I could very well get killed during this patrol. And as I started walking forward, I thought back to Psalm 91, which my mother used to read to me when I was a child, whenever I had nightmares. In Psalm 91, the Bible promises that the Lord will protect you in combat. 1,000 will fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but no harm will become me. And in an instant, I had to ask myself, was Psalm 91 written by a bunch of dead humans, or was it written by the Holy Spirit? And in an instant, knowing that my life actually might get taken that day, I just had an instant peace that, yes, it was written by the Holy Spirit, and that if God wrote it, then I could remind God about it and call him on it and say, Lord, you promised this. I'm hoping you can deliver on it.
Wow.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's beautiful. And you started to say that psalm while you were out there. How did it get you through as you were at war in Iraq during that time?
I would say it a lot. And actually, some of the guys in my unit, they had bandanas that Psalm 91 was written on. And throughout the U.S. military at that time, there was an awareness of that psalm. And it absolutely sustained me. I actually had a close call one time. There were a couple of times when I was shot at or when explosions went off near me. One time when a vehicle exploded that was very close to me, and it easily could have killed me if it had gone a different way. Through all that, I knew, regardless of what happened, that I was in the Lord's hands and that his word would sustain me.
That is so amazing. What faith. And so you left Iraq, came back to America, but you were going to be sent back out again. But this time, you found someone who brought you not only to the psalm, but to the Bible. And how did that change your life?
So when I came back from Iraq, I was feeling pretty good about myself because as a veteran, a lot of things that used to bother me no longer bothered me. I felt kind of tough. But within the next year, I was called up again to deploy to Egypt, to the Sinai Peninsula. And during that period, I discovered a minister called Derek Prince, an Englishman who served in World War II. And he had a lot of really cool sermons about how to walk through the Bible and how to find the meaning in it. During my next deployment in Egypt, in the Sinai Peninsula, actually, not very far from where Moses was, I spent my own time in the desert where every day for the course of a year, I would expose myself to the Word of God.
Oh.
I read the Bible through cover to cover. Over time, the more that I read the Bible, the more that I realized that the things that had confused me about it started to make more and more sense. And it became more and more logical.
Wow. Wow,
that's amazing.
You know, it's so wonderful how God will answer those questions right through the Bible. And there are people listening now who say, I don't even know if the Bible's real. I feel it's contradictory. And, you know, they're wondering. But they also have trials and things that they're going through, and they're not sure where to turn. What would you say to people right now who have these questions and they don't want just a quick answer, like, here's a scripture? What would you say to them right now, Drew?
I would encourage them to pick up the Bible and just give it some time each day. I understand that it can be very confusing and there can be things in it that can be scary or off-putting. But I really believe that if you approach it with an open heart, the Lord will meet you there.
So expose yourself to the entire Bible and see what God will do.
Yeah. And I think in a way, at least for me, it's best if I approach the Bible as if I were 5 years old.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, just like a child, like Jesus even said that.
Just fresh
childlike faith, just go forward like a blank page.
That's right. And if there's something that I don't understand, don't worry about not understanding it. Just keep reading until there's something that registers.
Oh, that's very great advice. Well, Drew, we thank you. And thank you so much for serving our country and helping to keep us safe here in America. We appreciate you and all that you've done. And we thank God that he really made himself real to you out there and continues to this day. God bless you. And thanks for sharing your testimony with us.
Thank you. God bless you.
Father God, thank you so much for what you did in our friend's life. Lord God, there's someone who is listening and I think can really relate to this, which is the Bible just a man-made text or is it really made by God? Is it really Holy Spirit inspired? And how can we truly understand the words of God? And there's someone saying, well, I think the Bible contradicts itself. But the only thing that the Bible contradicts is our sinful human nature. That's the only thing it really comes against. When we come to God and we just open up and we say, God, I want you to show me. And we get the key called Jesus. He will unlock the scriptures for us to understand by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Lord Jesus, we receive you. We ask for you to unlock the power of the scriptures, the power of knowing what the Bible says and what you are saying through it in Jesus' name.
And we just ask the Holy Spirit to speak through the Bible to you as you open it up. God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.